up, everybody? I guess we are live now. Keith running the studio on the back end, so I don't know for sure. We're going to get started in about 3 minutes from now, officially give people some time to dial in. So grab a drink, grab some water, do whatever you need. We'll get started in a few minutes.
Yeah, get settled in. It's going to be a good one.
Grab a tea if you're sick like Keith is.
Yeah, battle a little cold here, so I apologize, guys. I will mute myself if I have a coughing fit, as I told Mike here. But yeah, grab a tea. I got my tea right here.
Let me pre-type my tweets because I didn't realize scheduled tweets were a thing. Not the most tech-savvy guy.
A little chamomile tea and some honey, you know, digging that.
Alkaline water like I'm Kawhi Leonard. Or Russell Wilson.
Get started.
Or Dr. Sebi. Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Bronny does not make an annoying appearance asking for some food. We'll find out soon.
My cat was still down here, she'd be in my lap almost certainly. So
when I normally record the podcast, Bronny generally makes at least one appearance, but I edit it out, or like I have to step away because she's like scratching at the door or something to get out. So we'll have to see. Nice. I'm gonna predict she makes an appearance. How close is Malone to Spo? We got one good question already. We'll get into that. As friends, I'm not too sure.
Don't think that's the spirit of the question. All right, looks like some tweets delivered here. So,
sweet. Should we get started? You ready, yeah, Keith?
Let's get started.
All right. Hello and welcome to not only another episode of The Advantage, not only our first time hosting a live recording of a podcast episode, but a crossover edition, and it feels good to say that again, between The Advantage and the DFS Today podcast. For those of you who are listening on the DFS Today podcast who don't know who I am, my name is Michael Fiddle, of course, host the podcast The Advantage, and I hosted the DFS Today podcast throughout the NFL season, and I will be back in, what is it, a few months, a few weeks. Yeah. We are just around the corner, 100 days till NFL season was just this week. So I'll see you guys in 100 weeks to discuss some football. But today we are talking NBA Finals. And to do that, I am joined by the host of the Ethos Bulls podcast, the frequent host of the NBA side of the DFS Today podcast, the player prop professional in the Ethos Discord wager pass section, and the content director for all of Sports Ethos itself, Keith Cork. Keith, let's get right into this. I don't want to fiddle around too much, pun intended.
Oh, come on, fiddle. No, don't sell yourself short, man. No, don't sell yourself short. So, yeah, of course, DFS Today podcast, go listen to it. But, man, I just want to go ahead and point out, I know, Fiddle, you're up like, what, over 100 units? Definitely more than 100 units.
Yeah. 75 right now with things pending that look like we're getting
right. Literally
over 100.
So triple digit units there. Myself, I mean, that's incredible, man. You can continue to blow my mind with the ability there to cap these games and then the futures side of things. But, you know, myself, I'm hoping for 30 units up on the season, which, you know, I'll take it. So I'm in the I'll take it category. You're in kind of the holy crap category. But
yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do a whole separate podcast episode about lowering expectations for football season and next NBA season. This has been absurd. I'll talk more about it on The Advantage, not an episode for today, but if I cross 100 units, if I cross like the potential 130 that I got brewing up with some amazing futures, it will easily have been my best season ever. And when I go into a season, I always say it's not will I beat the books, it's how much am I going to win by. People have heard me say that a lot of times. But my like average projected like goal is around that 30-40 units mark. So I think like you're having an awesome season yourself. Don't sell yourself short just because I'm doing something so unprecedented even for myself. But let's talk NBA Finals, Keith. How do you feel about Heat, Denver? Is that a series that excites you? Who do you got winning? Who are you rooting for? Where's your heart telling you for this NBA Finals we got coming up?
I mean, look, if you're a basketball fan, I mean, any kind of finals has to excite you to some extent. And I mean, people are kind of sleeping on these teams. I mean, Denver's always excited me all season long. I've been a big fan of theirs. Just watching them play when it's really clicking on the offensive end, it is such a beauty to watch there. And they play both sides of basketball. So I'm a big Denver fan this season. Had them in my finals in every, you know, different way that I was betting this thing or playing a fantasy, season long fantasy, playoffs fantasy, you know, had some brackets out there. So I've been on Denver, but the Heat, they've just hit me out of nowhere. They're just like blindsiding me, just like they did with everybody. I don't think anyone had them kind of go to the finals here, but you know, who am I rooting for? I mean, I don't care. I mean, really want either of these teams to win. I think they're both homegrown talent. I'm just a really big fan of the way both these teams play basketball, especially with the Heat, the way they've been playing recently. But I think, you know, in my heart of hearts, if you had to put a gun to my head, tell me to choose who I want to win this series, there it is. I like Nikola Jokic. Oh, wait, man.
I just John Morant myself on social media. Oh, no. Take that back. And we're live. I didn't actually do that.
Woo. Nikola Jokic, though. I mean, I think he's got he's got to win this one, man. I think, you know, for his legacy, for all the haters, I mean, all the narratives that went out this season, I think it's just so unfair to him. And I just, you can't not love Nikola Jokic. I mean, the dude spends his offseason, like, you know, sitting in chariots behind horses. You know, it's like the dude's just like totally likable. So I'm cheering for the Nuggets.
I'm with you. I'm cheering Nuggets. I'm historically the biggest LeBron fan. I think everybody knows that. I root for legacies in the prime of my sports betting career, or my sports fanhood career, rather. Like, when I'm 20 years from now, I don't think I'm going to be as big of a sports fan just because life naturally gets in the way. So while I'm this invested in the NBA, I want to say I want to see greatness at its finest. I want to see the best of the best, so that when I'm telling stories 30 years down the road, I could be like, I watched the greatest big man of all time, that Nikola Jokic. That's why I always root for, you know, LeBron to win another ring, or if it's Mahomes or Brady. Those Mahomes-Brady Super Bowls tore my heart out. It's like, am I rooting for the future legacy? Am I rooting for to continue the current one? I'm with you. I'm rooting Denver. My bets are Denver. My futures portfolio is hedged Denver. So I'm loyal to my bankroll as well, first and foremost. I'll always play the smart angle, so I'm going to think it's Denver. What do you think is the biggest caveat for this series? You mind if I hit you with the first one?
Yeah, go for it.
I think we've obviously three-point shooting. Like first and foremost in the NBA, three-point shooting and the variance that comes with that. Not only have the Heat gone from the 27th ranked three-point shooting team in the regular season to the first in the playoffs, their opponent three-point shooting has also drastically dropped. I think they have a great defense in the 3-2 zone that they're playing that helps like get up on the shooters. Specifically, what they did against Boston was very powerful. But okay, so that's first and foremost. But I honestly think if we just take away like just the variance factor that is implicit in NBA games these days, is Denver's ability to beat the zone defense that Miami has been going to as kind of their like stalemate move all postseason. So Denver's offense, Keith, through the regular season and through the postseason, ranked number one against the zone. So number one against the zone in the regular season and through the postseason so far, number one against the zone. So the way you break a zone defense, specifically the 3-2 really high pressure that the Heat have been playing, where like Gabe Vincent's almost picking guys up at half court, like literally 35 feet out, is you get someone in the middle of the floor who knows how to pass.
Yeah.
Right. You flash someone to nearly the nail, the free throw line. The reason why they call it the nail is because it looks like this on the, court. And you get someone in that zone, and who's the best ever that I've ever seen do it? It's Jokic. So I think that the Denver's ability to beat the zone and bring Jokic up to the nail is going to be the biggest thing that Miami doesn't have the counterpunch to.
Right.
And that's why I go Denver heavily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that really gave Boston problems, and it's just not going to work against the Denver Nuggets. So they're going to have to find something different. Now, I do have faith in Spo and the fact that he can see this as much as we can see it. And I assume he's got some plan in place to try to combat that. But I mean, at the end of the day, what else can you do? But yeah, I think, you know, you kind of stole mine, but I, you know, another kind of observation I have here is that, you know, Jimmy, likes to get into that mid-range. You know, he had in the Celtics series, he had, you know, Malcolm Brogdon, he had Marcus Smart, he had Derek White, some smaller guys that he can get switched on and then get into that mid-range and just kind of do that, you know, little bit of a dribble shuffle into a fadeaway kind of jump shot. And the defender's just too small to stop it. And I just don't think, you know, with the Denver Nuggets, everyone on their team has wing size. I mean, maybe you can say Jamal Murray, he could take advantage of him in that situation, but I really don't think so. I think, you know, Jamal's,
he's a thick point guard. He's got that Kyle Lowry thing.
He's got some good wingspan to him. So I really don't think, you know, Jimmy's got that in his bag. So you take that away, you know, that might take a few points away from Jimmy as well. So, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of indicators here that from a basketball sense, just watching basketball, it's hard for me to see the Heat winning this series. But I've said that, you know, for every series so far with the Miami Heat. So we'll see how that goes.
The Celtics series was priced minus 550. Let's start getting into the gambling side of this. The Celtics series was priced minus 550 before game one of that series. I think this line dropped around 440 for the Nuggets on the series, and I think it's been bet out to about minus 500 now. So, yes, the Heat have been bigger underdogs already twice this postseason going into series and have overcome that. So who are we to say that it can't happen a third for this game one, Keith? Let's start right there. Slate breakdown, a simple game one slate breakdown for this series is, I think, the best place to start to then start branching out as we talk series, as we talk DFS approach, as we talk, we're going to get into a really cool conversation about a series long DFS approach. That's something you reached out to me about. I think that's really awesome, so I'm excited to talk that. But game one lines come out and it drops at Denver Nuggets minus 7.5 and the total comes out on most books around 218.5. Now, first thing I always do when I'm doing a slate breakdown, Keith, is I give these opening line numbers, I explain what the betting splits are and where the current lines have moved. So I said Denver Nuggets opened as a minus 7.5. We are out to a minus 9 on FanDuel. It's still minus 8.5 on DraftKings. Right. So I would go hit the minus 8.5 there. Mm-hmm. That is one of my best bets. We're seeing in the betting splits 67% of the bets on Miami, 58% of the money on Miami, according to the FanDuel splits. So, something I often talk about, my favorite thing to see in the sports gambling market is reverse line movement. That is when the money and the market are moving in the opposite direction as the percentage of volume tickets. So here where we have over 60% of the bets, 67% of the bets on the Miami Heat, but only 58% of the money, that's a clear indicator that the bigger bets of this game are on the Denver side. We also have the line moving from Denver minus 7.5 out to 8.5 or 9. So it's getting harder to win on the Denver side. These are clear indicators that the book wants you to bet on the Miami Heat in game one. I will absolutely not oblige, and I will be hitting the Denver Nuggets. I got it at minus 7.5. I even added some exposure at minus 8. And one of my best bets on the side of this game was the Denver Nuggets against the spread. Keith, now the question I'm going to throw to you after I've just broken this all down, would you still play the 8.5 at DraftKings? Would you still play a 9 at FanDuel? Where does this stop for you? Where do you start coming the other direction? How are you reading the current market now that it's shaken out to these numbers?
Yeah, I think I would definitely play the 8.5 on DraftKings. I mean, it's such a tough situation here for the Miami Heat, who just 7-game series. That game seven, I mean, you know, people look at the score. If you're not really watching the game, you can say, oh, it was a blowout. Like, it was an easy game for them. But that was a physical series, a physical game seven. Guys were getting knocked down. I know Jimmy came up hobbling after one play, and I think in the third quarter. So I really think, you know, they're going to be a little bit banged up. They're also going to have to travel from Boston to Denver, obviously. And then they have to play in Denver against the Nuggets, which, you know, the Nuggets have just insane splits home and away. You know, just way better home team than they are away team. So
41-7 at home this year.
It is just a crazy, crazy tough scenario, I think, for the Miami Heat here. So I would definitely still go 8.5. I managed to grab it at 8. I think I was maybe about 20 minutes behind you. So that market moved really fast. So
these do.
Yeah,
that is a great time to just, let me just quickly shout out. Make sure you're following us on Twitter. Mine is at mfiddle14. Keith is at ethoskeith, because specifically I do. I tweet about these lines immediately when the game ends, or even better, get in the Sports Ethos Wager Pass and Discord channel, because I actually first placed the bet myself. Then I posted in the Wager Pass and Discord channel, and then I posted onto Twitter. And because these lines are moving fast, and it's time is money, these markets are moving in minutes, being there at game end and then line open is actually the most important window to be present for gambling. When one game is ending and you could start betting the next game 48 hours out, because all these games are probably going to be every other day. I haven't checked the schedule, but that's what I would assume. We're on a 3-day break between game 7 and game 1. But of course, let's talk about that rest advantage too, Keith. You mentioned the Miami Heat coming off a physical game 7, even though it was a blowout. You have 3 days rest, which is one more day than normal in the NBA playoffs. However, Denver Nuggets, what, like a week plus rest, probably game planning for the Miami Heat, mainly because they were continuously winning throughout that series. So you have to say, assume they're better prepped for this team. Yeah. They have home court advantage. Miami had to travel. You know, I love to peg travel schedules when I'm betting. Miami had to travel from South Beach to Boston, now to Denver. So they did not go back to South Beach. So this is a kind of a long travel stretch for them. I expect them to be gassed. I expect Denver to be hungry and ready. When they present that rest versus rust debate that often comes up in sports, you constantly see this around week 18 of the NFL playoffs. Now I could say we used to say week 17. Like, should the Colts rest Peyton Manning? Like, that used to be one of the most rest versus rust takeoff discussions. We see that in the NBA. Give me rest every single time. Give me home court advantage. Give me the altitude. Give me it's no brainer. I would still play the 8.5. And on the totals, market has moved sharply up. So I said it opened at 218.5, now at 219.5 pretty much everywhere. Circo, which is one of the sharpest books and takes in some of the biggest bets, had it at 220. So that's how I knew this market was going to move north very quickly. I maxed out the over 218.5, Keith, and I would still feel very confident about the 219, which I think will lead us into the DFS conversation, where I'm expecting a lot of scoring in this game one, and I'm expecting the series to then start to tighten up as we progress. I'm expecting bigger rotations in game one. I'm expecting to see Kevin Love return to the lineup. That's something we'll talk about. I'm expecting to see potentially some Cody Zeller minutes again to spell some Bam Adebayo against Joker. So those are some things that maybe in a game one we start to see. And Kevin Love, he's an overplayer. I mean, he spaces the floor on offense and creates a lot of room. He throws bomb outlet passes that result in 4-second possessions, and he's a terrible defender. So when Kevin Love gets minutes and you're pegging a Miami Heat team who's been shooting the lights out and a Denver Nuggets team, you want to take an over. So this is a clear over situation for a game one. I love it. I love the 219. I would still slam it. You want to just slide straight into the DFS?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to it, man. But yeah, I think I love what you're saying there. You know, obviously, you know, I think the one thing that, you know, we can't really predict is, you know, is this game going to get out of hand early, and is Spo going to pull the plug early, which, you know, obviously could happen. But I think all the things you're saying anyways would still make me lean towards the over here. Because like you said, you know, those bench players, still the ability to score there, still a faster pace there. I think it's going to be a sloppier game than we're going to see the rest of the series here. So I do like the over there, definitely. And yeah, just to clarify, the Denver Nuggets did last play on May 22nd. That's 9 days of rest for them. So that's a huge advantage. Just 9 days to just kind of sit around.
Stretch your legs.
You know, you're getting light workouts in, then you're kind of intensifying as the game gets closer. So just such a huge advantage. And like you said, the ability to scout ahead of time also. I mean, obviously, the Heat have a huge personnel, so they're doing some of that as well. But even so, you know, the Denver Nuggets have an advantage there as well. So, but yeah, let's talk about, you know, some DFS stuff. I mean, you know, we'll kind of slide into just the single game one here, which, you know, I think I'm not super excited about, but I do have some thoughts on this one here. I think, you know, in terms of like who to roster at the captain position, I think I'm leaning towards some Jamal Murray here, because then it allows me to fit in a guy like Nikola Jokic, or if you want to, a guy like Jimmy Butler. I find it hard to go ahead and put in Jokic or Butler at that captain spot, because like you said, I think, you know, it's going to be these teams are going to go deeper to their bench. I actually have those two guys you talked about in my lineup here, Kevin Love and Cody Zeller, because I do think, you know, whether or not this game gets out of hand, I think they do go a little bit deeper on that bench because of those tired legs. I think, you know, again, like you said, it's going to lead to more scoring there. So, yeah, I like Kevin Love. I like Cody Zeller here. I think Cody Zeller in this series, as a matter of fact, is a good one. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. But if I go Jokic, I'm sorry, if I go Jamal Murray as my captain and I have Jokic in there and Love and Zeller, I can still fit in Bam Adebayo, who I think is also in for a big series. I think there's a lot of things here that indicate, because like I said, you know, Jimmy's not going to be able to get those switches where he's going to be able to take advantage of guys in the mid-range. I think what you're going to take advantage of with the Denver Nuggets is their drop coverage with Nikola Jokic. I mean, that's what everyone tries to take advantage of. And, you know, I really don't think it's Jimmy Butler going to be doing that. Obviously, he's not much of a shooter. But I think it's Bam. I mean, I think, you know, when you get into that situation with the high pick and roll and you start, you know, going towards the basket and rolling off of that pick and roll, he's going to have a lot of looks in that mid-range. And I think, you know, Jokic is going to be more under the basket. So I'm looking for Bam to do a little bit more scoring than normal here. So, you know, we'll talk about some serious stuff later, but I'd like getting him in my lineup here as well. And then if I get, you know, all those guys, I'm running out my roster here with another Nugget that is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I mean, I think he's going to be so essential to the Nuggets here, because he's going to get, you know, we talked about this before, Fiddle, but he's going to get that opening assignment on Jimmy Butler. He's got that length. He's got that ability. He's a really underrated 3-and-D player. And I think, you know, he's going to be an important piece here to how they go ahead and approach shutting down Jimmy. And I think he's going to do a really good job. So that's kind of what I'm going with in the single game here, going deeper in the benches and going a little bit cheaper at my captain spot. So what are your takeaways there?
So right off the bat, when you started off with Jamal Murray as my captain, that's the first thing I'll respond to. I'll try and work through a lot of what you just said. Yeah. Jamal Murray as my captain. I think if you're playing, so something that we often talk about, Keith, for DFS contest is what kind of contest you're playing. Mm-hmm. I think if you're playing in a cash contest, not a tournament contest, like a 50-50 or a double up situation or a hundo type mm-hmm. of contest, which these are my favorite, mm-hmm. Jamal Murray has to be in your lineup. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you want to make him a captain is a 50-50 decision. He is very underpriced for what his utilization should be. Right. The fact that he's $3,000 less than Jimmy Butler for what seems like a similar ceiling and a similarly safe floor. I mean, I love Jamal Murray in the spot. I have Jokic as my captain. I seemingly got Jokic and Murray captain, and then Murray in a roster spot, and we can talk about who I built it out around, because I really do like some of these lower priced guys in a game one situation where I think the rosters and the rotations are going to be larger. So specifically for a game one situation, when we talk series, I might have a slightly different approach. I was able to figure out how to get Jokic as my captain, and the fact that Jokic is what, $600 more expensive than Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy at this point feels like you're only playing him in a GPP, or you're only potentially playing him and Jokic together and then going super budget elsewhere. Like Jimmy in a cash lineup feels like in a game one situation, that feels like lost money. Let me see. What else? The KCP note. Yes, he is in my lineup 100%. I think his minutes is going to be very high. I think the way you talk about Butler drawing the KCP drawing the Butler assignment, I agree. That's going to be number one. And the fact that you even go further and you say Butler is potentially not going to have the ability to muscle up some of these weaker Denver defenders. The one defender who I would suspect to be a high-profile player throughout this postseason, but potentially be vulnerable to being a little bit played off the court because of Jimmy's strength, a la what he did to Derek White a little bit in the games that the Heat actually won in that series. I know Derek White exploded in some other games.
Yeah.
Is Bruce Brown. So if Bruce Brown gets muscled around a little bit because he's a little bit smaller and he guards big, like he's like one of those, again, Derek White, perfect example, or PJ Tucker or Draymond. He's one of these guys who is smaller but guards bigger. Obviously, I'm not saying he guards. He used to be the center for the Nets, actually. It was like a 6'4 center.
He plays big. He plays big, yeah.
Yeah, he plays bigger. There we go. Bronny is making her appearance on the show.
Hello, Bronny.
All right. So I expect KCP to potentially get more run. I love him in the series bet. Not only because I think Bruce Brown might struggle, but because on the other side, we have Tyler Hero coming back in game three. So like, how do you potentially take a Heat wing for a series DFS angle when someone so high usage might be entering the lineup in the middle of the series, right? Yeah. We don't know how long the series is going to go. Is Hero going to potentially get one or two games of very low usage, or does he ramp up and play four games at actually decent usage? So that is such a key variable that just makes me want to avoid the risk and go the KCP direction for so many reasons. We will also be definitely mentioning his name when we talk about series betting, because I think there's some awesome long shots if we feel this strongly about KCP's minutes projection compared to other players in the series.
Yeah, I love it, man. I think you're right at spot on there. The one thing I didn't really take note of that you're mentioning there is the Bruce Brown thing. I think he does play bigger often than he is, obviously. So I'm not really concerned about it, but he is potentially somebody that could get taken advantage of just from a strength angle. I agree there. But yeah, I think we're pretty much in sync there. I mean, you know, I think obviously getting Jokic at your, you know, captain spot, and you know, we can just switch over right to the series angle here because that's who I'm going with in my captain spot with the series. I think over the course of, you know, 5, 6, 7 games, whatever the series is going to go, you're going to want one of those top guys in there because, you know, it's going to be in the long run, they're going to have higher production than, you know, a player that might go off in a single game, obviously. So, you know, over the long course of a 7-game series, I am putting Jokic actually as my captain. So I'm interested to hear what you're going with there. But on the Heat, though, I mean, I'm fading the Heat most likely in this series contest. And if you guys aren't aware, DraftKings is doing, you know, just a 7-game series-long contest between the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets. And so, you know, the only two Heat that I'm really rostering here is Bam Adebayo, who I said before, I think this is a big moment, a big series for Bam. I think if the Heat do stand any chance of stealing the series, it's going to be because Bam Adebayo just had an incredible shooting, you know, from the mid-range type of series, and also an incredible defensive series, which we'll get into as well. But I'm also rostering Cody Zeller. He's only 1-2. I mean, he's basically minimum pricing. And I think there's going to be moments, I mean, maybe he gets...
It's kind of almost a safety net for if Bam even gets in foul trouble, too.
Exactly.
If Jokic one game, then Zeller slides in. He's going to get 8 first quarter minutes for you. It's
there
like,
may be
it's
a,
like
exactly.
paying, it's like paying two for one 48-minute center of the Heat spot.
I mean, I think he's pretty much a lock to get, you know, double-digit minutes. I think, you know, there will be that game, that odd game where Bam, like you said, gets in foul trouble or whatever happens. And they're so light there at the center position that he's going to probably step into a 20 to 25-minute role in one of these games. And he's just going to have a really good game because in terms of producing stats, he's just really good. He's a really good DFS player to have. So, of course, as you said, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, definitely got to have him in a series-long thing here. And then, if I go that way with Jokic as my captain, I don't have a lot of good options with my last two roster spots, honestly. I end up on Aaron Gordon and Bruce Brown, but I'm not super sold on that, you know, especially with what you mentioned about Brown potentially getting a few less minutes. And then I don't really want to stack Brown and Caldwell-Pope. So I'll have to tinker around a little bit more with this. I didn't have a whole lot of time to put this together. So, I'm not satisfied with this just yet, but I think I'm heading in the right direction. But are you rostering Jokic as your captain?
So Jokic is my captain everywhere, but I have one question for you, but I also want to quickly respond to you before I give you the pivot question. Here's where I'm just going to devil's advocate the Cody Zeller thing and why, if I'm choosing one Heat budget big, it's Kevin Love. Is because I said, or because we know, and I mentioned earlier, that the Denver Nuggets can break up a zone very easily. I think what's a potential counter for the Heat? And it's potentially going to that, what the Lakers did, where they checked Rui onto Jokic and then used AD as someone to slide over and, you know, be a like help defender, rim protector in that kind of Rob Williams dunker spot, but also slide over and you're the main rim protector. This is what the Celtics system developed under Ime Udoka last year. I think this the Miami might try and bring that out, and Kevin Love would be the guy who you fronts Jokic at the start, and then you slide over Bam, because you simply cannot play Zeller and Bam on the floor together. You just can't do it, right? Like, even though the Heat are the number one shooting team, it's because they're putting efficient shooters out there, and Kevin Love will be able to be that body defensively, because it literally, it's not like Rui's a good defender, he's just a bigger body. And then on the flip side of that is he'll be able to space the floor on offense. And then if we go into DraftKings scoring angles, three pointers are 3.5 points, right? Because you get the half point boost. Love is an amazing rebounder. Love is an amazing points per minute DFS guy. So if I'm projecting him to have potentially the same, maybe a little more minutes even than Cody Zeller, I actually would like paying up. I know it is more expensive, but it's still on the cheaper option. I'm rather going, and let me check my lineups real quick. I actually don't have Zeller in. I have Love in both of my lineups for game one and the series. I completely agree with you on the Bam Zeller stack. I completely agree with you that Zeller's a great budget play. I completely agree with you that Zeller's definitely going to get run in this series and is a great safety net for potential foul trouble. I'm just going a Kevin Love angle myself personally.
Let me play a little devil's advocate here, because I think, you know, when we saw with the Denver Nuggets playing against the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the things that the Lakers had, and they didn't have a lot of success, obviously, in terms of winning basketball games, but they had some success with playing Anthony Davis, obviously, on Aaron Gordon, and letting him just kind of, because Aaron Gordon's in that dunker spot always, so letting him kind of, you know, just hang in the paint, right? Like, Aaron Gordon's not stepping out and shooting a three. If he does, power to you, man. Go do that, right? So I think, you know, one thing I could envision seeing, you know, happen is I could see Cody Zeller and Bam Adebayo on the floor together, because if you're going to have Bam Adebayo on Aaron Gordon to play that kind of paint protector type role, who's going to guard Nikola Jokic on this Heat team? It's not going to be Caleb Martin. it's got to be a bigger body. I mean, could be Kevin Love. Absolutely. I think you could stick him out there. But at this point in his career, I don't know if he's got the strength to really, you know, deal with Nikola Jokic. I could see it going that way. I mean, it's more probable it goes the way that you're saying, but I could see a much lower scoring game where they do play Cody Zeller and Bam Adebayo on the floor together and put Bam in that kind of free safety role, just roaming the paint and just creating havoc like Anthony Davis did against the Denver Nuggets. So
to do that, Bam would have to be shooting very well offensively to allow Spo to go to that. I honestly, Bam has not played a single minute, Keith, all season at the four.
Yeah.
So I don't see. And then you're asking Zeller. Then you're asking Spo to put Zeller at the four, or do something Bam's never done all season in the NBA Finals. I don't see it happening. But let's talk about the series approach. Wait. Actually, one game, one question for you, because I feel like this is the most common pivot that people are running into, right? It's the combination of, do you choose Gabe Vincent and Duncan Robinson? And I know you're fading some Heat, so you might be saying none of them.
Yeah,
but right. Give me an answer. Yeah. It's the combination of Gabe Vincent plus Duncan Robinson. So you're getting the starting point guard plus backup shooting guard, or the combination of Kyle Lowry and Max Strus. So you get the backup point guard and the starting two. The combination is the exact same dollar for dollar price in, I think, both series and game one pricing. So
that's tough.
Which stack do you prefer?
That's tough. I think
that is what people are going to be finding themselves in. That's
yeah, it is. It is an important one to talk about. I think it's a good question, a really good question. And I think my initial reaction here, not something I thought about, because like you said, I'm pretty much fading them all. But if you are going to go that route, I think I'd probably go with the Strus in Lowry stack. And the reason for that being, if we're assuming that KCP is going to go and guard Jimmy Butler, who's going to be guarding, Max Strus? It's going to be probably Michael Porter Jr., right? So Michael Porter Jr., I don't have a whole lot of faith in his off-ball defense or even really his oddball defense. He's just, after that back surgery, he just hasn't been a great defender. I mean, he never really was to begin with. So
let me tell you a thing or two about basketball.
Well, yeah, touchy subject there, but no, it's true. I mean, I think there's something we said about, a little bit of loss of lateral movement there. And he's got the length. I mean, he's got the effort level. He's got the length on defense. So I'm not like bashing the guy. I think he's fine. He's totally average, and that's not a problem at all. You can be average on a NBA team and win a finals. I mean, they might do it here. So, but I do think that, if I was to pick a stack of one of those two stacks that you're talking about, Strus is the guy that's going to be kind of grabbing, getting that Michael Porter Jr. defense, and he'll probably end up having a lot of open threes. So I'm going to go with that stack.
Okay, I'm going to chime in this question from Adam real quick because he asked it earlier in the episode, but just given the MPJ and given the fact that you're talking, it's okay to be an average player at all these things. Okay, MPJ's talent, and when you watch it, jumps off the screen. But yeah. I Keith, we are in complete tandem here in the MPJ. I'm going to respond to the Lowry Strus thing in a second. We're also in tandem. But MPJ is average. Like, he is not a good defender. He gets very lost in space a lot of times. He's a good rebounder, and he's a good shooter in traffic, and he's a good shot creator. So where do we rank MPJ as a third option? He was an elite prospect a few years ago.
Okay.
If we're talking about general third options on NBA teams, he's fucking amazing. That's why we're here in the NBA Finals. Right. If we're looking at NBA Finals teams, he's like, even last year, if we go back to, I mean, he fits right in the category of what? Who was the third option last year? Wiggins was the second best player on the Warriors last year. So is Draymond the third best option?
That's all fame player.
Was Klay Thompson the third best option? Was Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis the three-man combo when the Bucks did it? I mean, we know the Heatles had a big three. If we're ranking MPJ as third options in the NBA Finals, it's actually below average. But I do really like MPJ as a player.
He's an amazing shooter, like you said, amazing, a really good rebounder. I think a lot of the skills are there. It's just a matter of that defense is just it's sometimes mind-boggling. That's not very good, but.
Keith, can I respond to the Lowry Strus combo?
Yeah, go for that.
I agree with you there too. I lean veteran experience for Lowry. I lean away from, I don't know how big of a deal it is, but that ankle injury that Vincent just dealt with feel like it could still linger and re-aggravate. And when you go into altitude, you'll increase the swelling. Yeah. So definitely don't love that situation for Vincent. Lowry is the most annoying player to watch. Did you get invited to his off-season seminar? Did you hear he's hosting a
Lowry?
Yeah, he's hosting a seminar. It's called Learn How to Play the Refs Just as Much as Your Opponent. Nice. He's hosting at Kyle Lowry's Flopping Dojo in South Beach. He's not only the host, but he's the keynote speaker, and he's two of the panelists for both of his butt cheeks. Jimmy Butler.
He does get a badonkadonk, so.
Jimmy Butler is the host.
I don't think so.
Jimmy Butler is the host, and Trey Young will also be hosting breakout sessions at this. Learn how to play the refs just as much as you play your opponents. I actually despise watching Kyle Lowry play basketball. It's so frustrating, but at the same time, it generates stats. He's going to get dinky steals. He's going to get to the free throw line. He's a good three-point shooter. And if we're talking that, let's go back to one of the things you said. How may the Heat exploit these Denver Nuggets? It's get Jokic into a pick and roll. Yeah. Who may be an initiator in that pick and roll in a leadership, veteran, mistake-free situation? I would be very unsurprised to see Kyle Lowry emerge averaging 6 assists in this postseason.
Good point. Good point. And we can kind of segue into some series props that we like as well.
I'm racing to the book to check
a natural segue there. I did put out some though, and I'll go ahead and share those with you. And again, these are part of the wager pass, which you guys can absolutely get by going to sportsethos.com, and you can get access to our 100 unit winner here. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, because, you know, we're just going to talk that into reality, because I think it's definitely going to happen. So, but yeah, there's a couple of, you know, plays here that I like in terms of series props. And, you know, the first one I'm going to mention here is Nikola Jokic to record 20 plus rebounds in a single game in the finals.
I saw you on this in the wager pass and I loved it.
It's plus 275. I'm taking it for a half unit to win basically 1.4 units here, and that's on DraftKings. But yeah, I think, you know, he did the last series, and I think, you know, the pace may be down a little bit against the Miami Heat compared to some other, you know, series that the Denver Nuggets have played this postseason. But at the same time, you know, even if they put Cody Zeller out there, I mean, nobody's keeping Nikola Jokic off the boards. I mean, he's just going to absolutely beast the boards. I know we were looking fiddle. We were like, oh man, if this is like minus 300 or better for Jokic to,
yeah,
to
wait, lead let's the series. Let's quickly tell that story on yeah. the pod and on the stream. Yeah. I mentioned to you, because I saw you've been playing it yeah. in previous series.
Right.
Nikola Jokic to lead the series in rebounds is why we right. call you the player prop professional. I will be tailing you 100% on that half unit on Jokic to record. It's just at least one game in these finals that he hits 20 rebounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And we're yes. getting, and it's, and what's the odds again? It's 275.
275. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're getting an implied probability on that of 26% mm-hmm. in the most important games this man's ever played, when he's going to be playing, what, 42 minutes? So if mm-hmm. what is per 36 rebound rate is probably 15, and then you add tack on an extra 6 minutes, it's just like, okay, that at a 26% implied probability, Keith, I think that's a fantastic bet. I forget where I just totally lost my train of thought. Where was I going?
Where are you going with this one here? Yeah, go ahead.
The Lowry assist prop that I mentioned before, Keith, mm-hmm. over 3.5 for the series is average plus 105. I'm about to go bet that right now.
Lock that in.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We talked about this one too on the Discord channel, was his to lead the series in three pointers. And if we start to bring in the fact that what if Hero comes back in game three, that's just going to reduce the likelihood of a Strus output, of a Duncan Robinson output, of a Butler, of a Lowry. I think it's pretty surprising how juiced the pricing is for Jamal Murray to lead the series in three pointers. But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, when I bet it, I think was 50-1 at FanDuel to lead the series in three pointers. It wouldn't shock me one iota if he's playing 37, 38 minutes a game and has 9 3-point attempts per game on average. Like, that is a mispriced line like I've never seen before. I mean, like, there's some great prop angles for this series.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love those. The ones you mentioned there, a couple of go ahead.
I remembered my train of thought. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So I was going to tell the story of the, I have ADD, Keith, as you could tell. I was going to tell the story of us describing the Jokic series prop, because I saw you bet it and I discussed with you before the Heat series price came out, because not only, and I don't think I would have wanted it necessarily against the Celtics, even though I would have felt really good about it, but the way that the Celtics had the two bigs and they split the minutes would have said, okay, Jokic is probably going to outminute them on the court, so therefore he's the guy. But not only that, it's just the way that the Miami Heat try and like space the defense with zone, the way that they kind of clear out on offense, like and go 4 or 5 wide, like there's just not going to be people in the paint with Jokic. So me and you were eyeing this bet and I was like, anything less than minus 300 and pegging someone at a minus 300 line when it's a series long to lead the series, like not even over under average, not even to beat out Bam Adebayo, the other center. We're talking every single other person on the court for every, like in compilation for the entire 4 or 5 games. An injury could change, anything could happen. So we were saying we would take 75% implied probability and we would still pay for it on minus 300 odds. The line comes out and it is minus Do you want to say the number?
20,000? Was that what it was?
Minus 20,000? 20,000. You have to
minus
bet
1 million, might as well.
$1,000 to even return 100 bucks on Jokic to lead this series in rebounds. So that's even more. Like, go hit that Jokic escalator on the rebounds, the 20 plus escalator. I really like that one, Keith.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that was kind of the, I wanted to bet it at some angle. And that was kind of the best bet I found out there because I think his series. Number here is like 13.8, if I recall correctly, for the series.
Yeah, over.
I think that's, yeah, I wanted to bet the over there. It's minus 115, but I think he ends up right around there. I felt like there was more, more value in getting the plus 275 on the 20 plus in one game. So I'm rolling with that one, but I'm also going Bam Adebayo under, 9.3 rebounds per game. And, you know, same reasoning, you know, I think we're giving for the Jokic over. It's kind of more of an indirect way to bet Jokic to lead this series in rebounds. It's not exactly that because he could easily average, 9.5 or 9.6 rebounds per game, and it wouldn't really surprise me. But I do think when you're talking about a guy that just absolutely gobbles up boards, that's his best value on defense is that he just absolutely ends that defensive possession by grabbing the rebound and changing the possession. There's no one better really than Jokic in the NBA. So I love the under here for Bam Adebayo. Maybe he gets in some foul trouble one game also, like we were talking about, trying to guard Nikola Jokic. And if that happens, then obviously his rebound total for the series will come down as well. So I like that under. One other thing that I'm on as well is the Bam Adebayo points over, actually. And again, I think it's really going to be on Bam, in that pick and roll. When he gets that ball in the mid-range, he's going to have to score the basketball or he's going to have to find his teammates. I think you could also look at the assists over as well. But I think for me, I think I'm more comfortable taking the points over here. His assists over is not even available on DraftKings, I guess. So I'm not sure what it is on FanDuel, but I'm on DraftKings right now. But yeah, the points per game is 16.6. And I just feel like when you look at how he's performed against the Nuggets over the last 3 years or so with Jokic being in the game, he's typically it's been a little bit up and down, but he has averaged more than this. And I think the big reason for that is, the Heat understand that that's the best way to take advantage of this Denver defense is, again, get Jokic in that pick and roll, involve in that pick and roll, and then take advantage of him off a pass to Bam in the middle there. So those are some of the series props I'm over. Is there another one you're eyeing?
Okay, so based on what you said, if you like the Bam Adebayo over 16.6 for this series, then I would also strongly recommend if this is – not one that I'm on, but I'm responding to you and correlating the angles for you, is I would strongly also recommend betting the over 16.5 for game one, because if we expect game one to be an over game, then that's I would true. Definitely get that. It's only minus 105 on DraftKings, so you can get a better number at a low price on the same angle and then try and get that return really quickly. So I really like that in an over spot. That seems like a good correlated angle. Mm. And then Jimmy Butler's over 5.5 assists. I'm going to find the best odds on it, but there's no way I will not be playing Butler's over assists until it gets to 7.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I had that thought coming in, and I got scared off. I can't remember exactly why, but it's a good bet. I think I saw, if it ends up that Jimmy goes back to, I think that was the series against the Sixers, I want to recall the last time I saw it, but if he goes back to kind of playing the dunker spot and not being on the ball as much, that would make me worried about that. But I think I don't think it's going to happen. I think in general, I think you're right. He's going to be more of a, could have to go ahead and distribute the basketball. So I do
definitely in game one, I expect it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So is there anything else you want to hit, Keith?
I think there was one more series bet I'm on. It is. I'm actually on Jimmy Butler's under 27.8 points per game. That's kind of correlates also. This is actually the angle I took. So now I'm remembering. I took this all last night. So I'm remembering. But yeah, so instead of taking the assists over on the series for Jimmy Butler, I took the points under.
Let me ask you one question, Keith. What's the juice you're paying on the points over? I mean, the points under, rather.
It's minus 115.
Okay, so that is a great way to then correlate and indirectly play the same angle at better juice, because I know the over 5.5 assists was minus 145 on DraftKings. Yeah,
right.
I don't really want to play a minus 145 prop. You're getting into the spot where you're starting to pay too much bang for your buck, where your implied probability and your hit rate on prop bets where you can't read the market. You don't know where these lines opened up. You don't really have the gambling information that we used in the beginning of the show to talk about betting splits and line movement and market indicators. We're really relying on basketball takes. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to hit 60% hit rates, pegging minus whatever lines and playing those prop angle, like you should be a scout at that point if you could actually be profitable doing that. Yeah. I am not that good. I'm more of a market reader. So what I would rather do instead of playing a minus 145 line, I'm going to shop for either a better line or I'll take an alt line and I'll say, like I literally just said, I'd be comfortable playing it to 7 assists. So maybe I could get it at minus 115 for over 6.5 assists. So that would be something that I would try and do is sell an assist, sell the point, sell the prop, and gain better value in your odds. I never, ever, ever like buying points. I never like taking an alt spread where you're having to pay more juice. If Jimmy Butler's over under is 27.5 and you're like, Keith's a dum dum, he's a lollipop, I want to take Jimmy Butler's over. Do not play Butler's over 20 points because it's juiced to 750 and start building a parlay, right? If we're going to talk about some general NBA betting stuff, that is really not what you want to do. You want to sell points. You want to play that escalator. You want to say, give Keith the middle finger. Jimmy Butler's going to have 35. So I'll play that at plus 400. Then, yeah, all love to you, but don't get caught playing a minus like 750
smart
line. And some of these lines are juiced like insanely. I'm sure it's not even 750. Yeah. But that would be my last bit of info. Do you want to plug anything, Keith?
Yeah, I just want to make sure you guys, you know, go like and subscribe. You know, obviously the YouTube channel there. Go to sportsethos.com, get the wager pass. Again, Mike Fiddle's been absolutely insane, incredible this season. I was going to go ahead and just kind of give you, you know, my thought process with the player props here, just, you know, quickly. I'm not going to go too in depth here, but basically what I start with is just an observation. What I start with is knowing what the general market, you know, is thinking about a certain player. So for Jimmy Butler, you know, people are going to be on the over because they want to root for the guy. I totally get that. It's totally a you know, betting with my heart type of strategy there. They want the Heat to win this game. If the Heat want to win this game, Butler's going to have to go over that point total. But then I make an observation, and my observation here is, you know, the Denver Nuggets have wing defenders that are going to be able to stop Jimmy. The Denver Nuggets have better team defense, I think, than any of the opponents that the Heat have played so far this season. I'm including the Bucks and the Celtics in that. You know, I just think that Jimmy's going to have to be more of a distributor, and that's just going to happen here. So that was my observation. Then you just kind of bet it and you work on that theory. And if it hits, you watch lines again the next time it drops and you see if it's a similar line. If it is, you hit it immediately. You know, and that's a kind of line movement thing right there, because you will see these lines move obviously as you're closer to tip. But you know, what you can kind of go on is, especially in a playoff series, you can go on what the line was last game and then going into this game. So that's kind of my approach there for the player props. But yeah, follow Fiddle, follow myself, go to obviously like and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, guys.
Love it all, Keith. Thank you so much. Appreciate those kind words. My podcast audience already knows how we're crushing it. If you're listening 53 minutes into this, you certainly know we bring home the bacon. I will talk to you guys on the Advantage feed next week. I will talk to you guys on the DFS Today feed in quite a few months, 100 days as we approach the NFL season. Keith, as always, it is a pleasure to chat hoops with you and join the Sports Ethos Wager Pass and Discord channel so that you can get access to our bets right when game one ends, right when game two ends, and you could start betting with us throughout the series and bringing home some big bucks. Keith, thank you for joining me tonight. Enjoy the finals, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Take care, everyone. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Peace out.